It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Tuesday. Definitely feels like a Tuesday. I can't lie to you. Don't like the off day after a loss at all. It just gets to fester deep inside you. But back at it tonight. It's great to be here with you this morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning, Chef.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Morning, Benjamin.
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
You look great. Are you? What time are you teeing off?
I am not teeing off. I'm just...
You look like a golfer, man.
Wearing a golf shirt
You
today.
Look... God, that shirt looks good on you.
Thanks.
Oh, really yeah. Does. Doesn't he look like a golfer?
Yeah.
Look like the real deal.
It's kind of my look often.
It's true.
It's the golf look.
It's true.
Just going for the golf look.
I mean, you know, the mood struck me. If the opportunity availed itself.
Then you would golf.
It'd be nice to be ready for golf at any time.
That guy comes prepared.
No plans. I work all day. I can't see possibly getting away to the golf course, but it's always better to be prepared.
Your sticks in the car?
Of course.
Oh, they're ready to go. Oh, shoes,
yeah.
Everything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Glove, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Balls.
We're good to go. Yeah, we're always ready at a moment's notice to hit the links.
You never know when the call may come.
You never know.
Love that about you. You're always ready. Listen. So, yeah, got, you know, some interesting news in our business, right? And had a lot of people DMing me yesterday, a lot of people kind of blowing up my Twitter in regards to Darren Smith, who allegedly is not working anymore across the street. And Darren's a former colleague of ours when we were at the old station. We were not his lead-in. We were the morning show. Then there was a national show, but then D. Smith. But we saw D. Smith all the time. D. Smith is a friend of ours. And I had a, you know, saw a lot yesterday online about it. And, you know, the thing about radio is that everybody likes to say, radio's dying, radio's dead. No one talks more about anything than freaking radio. When things happen, you know, the gossip mill kicks up and the rumor mill kicks up. Everybody still likes to talk about local radio. Darren has been a fixture in San Diego radio for 20-plus years. Got a lot of years in the show. If they were going to hand out those player cards like they do in the big leagues, he's got two of them, right? A 10-year service time or whatever, he's got a couple. So Darren, very talented dude.
It's 10-5.
Yeah, he's got his 10-5 deal and everything. So a lot of people wrote me yesterday, hey, man, you guys going to talk about this in the morning? And, you know, I thought back to kind of what went down at our station over the holidays, and I thought to myself, you know, so many people.
God, wasn't that fun?
That was a blast. So many people around the holidays last year took it upon themselves to speak about things which they had no idea, the full story. None. I never saw it reported accurately once, and that was from radio hosts, that was from newspapers, that was from smaller newspapers, that was from podcasters. No one had that full story. No one. except the people in this building. And I thought to myself last night, that's massively unfair for us to come in here this morning and talk about something which we don't know. I texted with Darren last night. I'm not going to share the contents of those texts, but I will say this. Darren hasn't made a statement yet at all. And the company across the street, they haven't made a statement yet either. So it would be wildly gross of us and wildly irresponsible of us to go and do this morning exactly what everybody else did back in December. So we're not going to. I will say this. I loved working with Darren Smith. I hated being a competitor of Darren Smith. Hated it. I hated when he and I would butt heads. Because you know why? Because I idolized the dude. I absolutely did. And the guy is effing fantastic at his job. Fantastic. I couldn't listen to him when we were on the same station because I thought to myself, I'm going to steal his stuff. Not consciously. Subconsciously,
you'll hear some nugget.
Some nugget. And
you
I'll
won't
be
even remember it. And then correct. You'll spew it out the next day.
So yeah. I would be like, I'm not listening. I can't. I can't do it. You know, because Darren's really, really good at his job. And I'm so glad that he and I, like, reconciled over the last 6 months or so. Because the dude's fantastic. Funny story. I was next door at 94.9. And our program director said, hey, All Access, which is like the big media publication. I don't even think it's around anymore. I think it's gone away. But they did like 20 questions with Stephen Woods from 94.9. And it said at the bottom of it, the last one was, who do you listen to in your market? And Darren was my pick. And this is probably 3-4 years into, you know, just being a DJ. And when we got the chance to work there with him, bro, I mean, we all know, like, you've worked with him before, Benny, but, I mean, I was like, oh, my God, we made it. Like, this is really, really special. So I'm not going to go off half-cocked about his company. I'm not going to go off half-cocked about him. Let's let him talk first, and then we can go out and you know.
Did the UT write a story yesterday full of lies and half facts?
Not that I've seen yet. I thought that I'd seen.
I missed it if they did.
I haven't seen anything there yet on that. But yeah, I mean, that was really gross. A lot of people took their opportunity around the holidays to get on their radio shows or get on their podcasts, whatever, and speak again about things for which they had no idea the full story at all. Not even close. And that sucked. That sucked for Adam. That sucked for us. It sucked for me. It sucked for a lot of people. So I'm not going to do that to Darren Smith. I respect him too much. I respect what he's done in this business way too much. And here's what I do know about him. He's one of the smartest MFers you will ever meet. You can rest assured Darren's ass is covered, and he's going to find something that, you know, fulfills him more if that's what he's looking for. So, yeah, that's it. I'm not going to. You know, I have no idea what went on behind closed doors. I just was checking on him as a friend. You good? You know, we talked about the fact that he's got 20 years in this game, in this town. That is quite an accomplishment. So whatever he chooses to do.
It's a shock to the system.
It is.
Whether you saw it coming, whether you didn't, like whatever.
Yeah, it's weird.
The situation. I mean, we were at a station that had the plug pulled, like literally.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like no matter what, whether your contract up, you know, money, anything like that, you can see it coming or not. It is always a shock to the system.
Yep.
Your routine is off. Like, I'm glad you checked in on him. Man, like, I don't want to make it sound like it was bad while we've been competitors on competing stations with him.
No, but he's just competitive.
It sucked.
It sucked.
Because, like you, I worked with him. I worked in the mornings, and then Darren would come in about 30 minutes later, and I would always make sure to go into the studio to fill up my water bottle, and I would pick his brain.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to, you know, make myself known into this, trying to get a leg up in this industry. Who better than Darren Smith?
Right.
To have to ask questions, ask advice, and he was always there for it. And I have always appreciated him and looked up to him in that sense. And I wish him nothing but the best if everything that's coming out is true.
Yep.
Obviously, I get less into the behind the scenes drama than probably you do, Woods. It's just not as I just kind of let it roll off my back. I will say this though, I like Darren. I've always liked Darren.
I like Darren,
and the reason why I think he has been so successful. You mentioned how smart he is, and there's a lot of smart people around, but he always treated his audience as though they were smart as well. And I appreciated that. Sometimes I didn't totally understand exactly what he was saying because he was smart, but he didn't ever dumb it down. For I always appreciated that. I think that's the highest level of radio you can do. He would get smart guests on and ask smart questions of those guests. I try to emulate that as much as possible. If you noticed, we try to put some smart people on this radio program as much as possible. And I think that is certainly an influence I've had from listening to Darren over the years, being in sports, you know, as long as I have. I've listened to many of his shows over the last 20 years, and that's one thing I've always absolutely admired. Smart people talking about sports in a smart way that hopefully elevates the conversation for everybody, because we spend way too many hours talking about dumb things in sports, even here in this market about the Padres, conversations that shouldn't even be had, and I want to try to elevate that as much as possible, and I thought Darren always did a good job of that, so I always appreciated him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, you know, that's kind of where I'll let it lie. Once we hear from Darren, it's a different story, you know, entirely. But for now, you know, it's just what happened in December here was gross, and it sucked. And everybody that's complicit, yeah, I mean, you know who you are. You know who you are. You absolutely clowned out. In December, you clowned out, and it's not something I'm going to do. And, you know, it's that dude deserves a lot more than that. So, yeah, that's where we're at with that story. I wish him the very, very best. Be in touch with him, certainly. And, you know, listen, the invite has been extended. If he ever wants to come hang out and, shoot the breeze, we got a couple chairs, couple mics here anytime he wants. So, that's where we'll leave that story, for the day. But, if Darren's listening, you know, not even worried about you, dude. Not even in the slightest, you know, not even a little bit. But yeah, this is a tough business. It's an unfair business. It doesn't make sense a lot of the time. But you know, getting the whole story, it's kind of important. Kind of important. So that's what I want to make sure we addressed this morning. Certainly, a little bit of a slow sports night, unless you're a soccer fan, which, by the way, last night, Soccer Woods made an appearance.
It was a good day for it. Just try to jump in. And then, of course, it ended up being a pretty rotten day if you were a Team USA fan.
Which I think, based on my timeline, yeah, you're used to it. You're pretty much, if you're a Team USA fan, you're not. What were you really expecting last night?
We were going through some of the comments this morning before the show, and I go, isn't this the same stuff people say about the team
every two years, every couple years,
every whatever? Like,
yeah, you know, Ben said, well, this team was supposed to be different. I'm like, I've heard that before.
I've heard that my whole life. I'm 33 years old.
My buddy, that's a massive. He's actually, he was in radio with me. He was in radio sales. He was like my radio sales mentor. He's the biggest soccer fan you've ever known. He's a character. His name's Mark Bauman. I would actually like to get him on. He's like, he's so good at explaining it, dumbing it down for me. I texted him last night just to goad him. Just to get, because I like to, we goad each other. I go, team of the future every year. And he wrote, dude, that's BS. We're actually hanging with one of the best teams in the world. And he got all fired up. I'm like, bro, you're still falling for my stuff 15 years later? But he said, yeah, man, this was supposed to be different this year. And it wasn't. And I watched most of that game last night. And I'm glad I stuck around till the end to watch the post game, because the post game was some of the most dynamic, cutting commentary I've heard in a long, long time about the U.S. men's team. So we'll play that for you today, certainly. It's pretty good.
Interesting audio, to be certain. We will talk about that. We'll set the menu for the show. We got some guests coming up today on a Tuesday, as well as the Padres get set to open a 3-game series against the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers later today. Padres talk, all that coming up with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. We'll get our first check of traffic with Kelly. Off and rolling on a Tuesday here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Good morning.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Padres did tweak their starting rotation a little bit yesterday. Remember on Sunday, they had not announced the starters for the three-game series against the Texas Rangers that begins tonight. Mike Schilt said we'll get to that probably tomorrow. And they did, in fact, move up some guys, move around some guys. We'll probably hear more from that by Mike Schilt. So Woods left the studio for a minute, and he has left his computer audio on.
Yeah.
Which I can't.
You did the show.
All right. I will continue to do the show. I need to. The distraction of the audio of my own voice coming out of his computer is a little bit difficult to deal with. Thank you, Paulie. So, so the Padres will move Dylan Cease up, as we kind of speculated, because he's not pitching on short rest. He's actually pitching on an extra day's rest. He hasn't pitched since last Wednesday when he had his 7-inning, 1-hit, no-run performance against the Washington Nationals. So he'll actually go on an extra day's rest tomorrow, but move up a spot in the rotation and pitch tonight against Nathan Eovaldi. And then Adam Mazur will move back a day, and he will pitch tomorrow. And then Michael King will move up a day, pitch on normal rest. He went on Saturday, so he'll go on Thursday, 4th of July, in the series finale. That will move Randy Vasquez back a little bit after he took the line drive off the elbow in his last start. So just a small tweak of the rotation. The upshot is that Dylan Cease could be able to get three more starts now before the All-Star break, as opposed to just maybe two more starts and space them out a little bit because of the off days that they have. So you could end up skipping over later Adam Mazur if you wanted, or give Randy Vasquez even extra time if, in fact, he wasn't feeling 100% healthy after taking that line drive.
I'm coming into this conversation cold.
Yeah. Well, you left your audio on, which just completely distracted me. It was
what
the,
do you
show
mean?
The show was coming out of your computer while you were gone.
So we heard an echo. Where the hell?
Yeah. On fire today on a Tuesday. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right.
So, Dylan Cease is pitching tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the upshot of the entire conversation.
Dylan Cease on the bump. I like that.
So coming up on the program today, the reason you weren't here is that you brought in a special guest who we're going to be chatting with during the program today. We got John Connor from Mad Friars. Hello, John. We will introduce
Prospect
you in a minute.
Hugger Supreme.
Here
we
go. We will get to that coming up as well. We have some more audio to play. The Washington Nationals just will not let last week's controversy die with the San Diego Padres.
It's unbelievable.
Can't even seem to get their perspective and story straight on the back and forth in that series with Jurickson Profar.
I couldn't believe it when I saw this yesterday.
Is there a
former Padres prospect? Big night for John Conniff last night.
There was a lot of talk about the Juan Soto trade yesterday nationally, so we can get into that coming up as well. Take on Woods, don't do this. We've got your opportunities to win prizes and our regular segments coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. It is an Incorporator Tuesday. Jesse Agler will join us from Arlington, Texas as the Padres continue their road trip. Voice of the Padres coming up at 8:35. Rival Report and more as we take you all the way until 10 o'clock today. But keep the menu fairly simple, and we will definitely get into it to a lot of the Padres talk. But do you like the move of Dylan Cease moving up a day and changing the rotation around a little bit?
Of course, man. Yeah. You want to get, you know, it's not rocket science to get your best pitchers out there as much as you can. You know, there's a lot of concerns moving forward. And I know we were talking off the air about, you know, listen, you got Michael King who's going for, this is his real first year as a starter. How many more innings does he have? He's looked really good, man. He looks very beyond serviceable. I mean, he's kind of in that line between good pitcher, ace is up here. He's got that stuff from time to time. So you wonder how many more innings can we count on?
He's got some of the filthiest movement in all of Major League Baseball when he is on.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. So like, but how many more innings? And I'm sitting there at night trying to do the math in my head going, I can't worry about this. I cannot worry about, you know, things that haven't happened yet. But if you on paper before the season, that was a concern. He's answered the bell every time, you know, but how many more bells can he answer? So there's a lot of things to be worried about. And you were talking about a spot that you heard on MLB radio. It's just how every single team is frothing at the mouth for pitching. Like 9-10 teams are just in the hunt for pitching. So what does that do? It drives the price up.
There's way more need than there is supply right now for starting pitching.
It's crazy.
Which, you know, supply and demand, very simple economics. That's going to drive the price up.
Even I understand supply and demand.
And you wonder, obviously, A.J. Preller has always been very aggressive in going after the players that he wants. But if there are other teams that also now have prospects, because the Padres have traded away many of theirs, that want to be more aggressive than A.J. Preller, he may not be able to do much about it. And unless he's willing to dip into Ethan Salas, and for the most part, everyone believes he's not either willing or not allowed to do that by the powers that be in the Padres front office, he may not even have the capital to make a trade, even if he wanted to, because other teams may simply outbid him because they haven't made any moves yet. And they go, all right, this is the time we're pushing our chips forward, and we got more chips than A.J. Preller does right now.
I watched the Orioles game the other night, and they were talking about the absolute glut of prospects that they have that they're still not quite sure that they're willing to move. I think there are two extremes. You can't do that either if you're the Baltimore Orioles. You cannot. You also cannot do what A.J. Preller, if given 100%, you know, freedom to do it, you also can't do what he potentially could
do. But I also heard them talking about the Milwaukee Brewers saying, man, we're not really going to trade any of our prospects or go in at all. Again, we don't want to add any money.
It's got to be frustrating.
I mean, they're in first place again. And yet they never seem to be willing to really go for it in the end and try to win a World Series.
Pretty simple, then. Let's just try to get Devin Williams, because apparently they're willing to move people being in first place. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a really, really fascinating month in the game of baseball, as July usually is. This year feels a little bit different. So we can break all that down for you as well.
All right, let's take our first time out here, well, second time out, technically. We'll come back. If you want to play some of that audio from the Washington Nationals, we can get into it. We also have John Conniff in studio for Mad Friars, so we can talk about what is actually in the minor leagues that the Padres could use to try to attract some starting pitching here at the trade deadline, which is coming up later this month. We'll get to all that coming up with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. July is here. It is trade deadline month. AJ Preller is always active, yet he's already been the most active general manager this season with the Dylan Cease deal right before the start opening day, and then Luis Arraez added to the team. What is left to make a big deal for the San Diego Padres, especially with other teams also in the market for the big deals? We got John Canha from Mad Friars. He's in studio. We're going to bring him on for a little bit of a conversation coming up here right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. If you're a serious Padres fan, Mad Friars and all of their reporters and people who cover the Padres in the minor leagues are a must-follow on social media. And John Conniff is here. Now, John, how does the Mad Friars structure really work? Welcome in. Are you like the CEO? How's the organization structured?
I guess I'm like the CEO, and David J is the chief editor. Calls me an idiot about on a daily basis. Then you
big
guys
David
have
J,
a
big David J fan.
But you're not
over here.
You're not officially connected with the San Diego Padres organization. You're independent, you know, fans, people who cover the team who are interested in the minor leagues of the San Diego Padres, and you offer honest perspectives of what you see of the Padres in the minor leaguers, and you actually have people on the ground in the different cities like Elsinore, Fort Wayne, who go there throughout the year to get, well, at times at least.
We have, we have five of us. Also, we have Kevin Charity, whose seat I'm sitting in, and it's kind of roomy to give Kevin some grief. And then we have Mark Wilkins and, of course, Ben Davies. So the big thing about us, we don't have any dedicated person just there. We try to go around and we try to see them, and I think that gives you a better perspective, and you can see how different people are progressing. And I think one of the better things about the site and it's been a big credit to your guys' program and the other ones that we've been on as you let us come on here, I think, and just report. And this is what people are kind of – this is what the players are kind of doing at this level. And this will tell you this is what we think they need to do to get better. This is what they need to work on. And this is what they're doing well now. As opposed to me sitting here saying, let me tell you about DeVry. He's going to be the everyday shortstop for the Padres. And in 3 years, he'll hit 20 home runs. And I think that's what listeners and people get upset about because – anyone can say that, but no one knows that. I sure don't know that. I mean, we can talk about, we'll get into some of the guys, what they're doing well, and things we need to see them do better. But yeah, thank you for the nice words on Mad Friars, and we always appreciate you guys having us on.
Now, me and you go back and forth a lot.
Yes.
John will listen to the show in real time. When we start talking about prospects, he'll start texting me. And I love it, too, because he gives me information I didn't have. It makes me seem smarter. But also, he knows that if I had the keys, that I would be more like AJ Preller and less like maybe a more conservative general manager.
Well, every time I listen to you, and I do listen to you guys in DC, there might be five or six guys do that, and that's me. And I always, you know, I listen to Paul and Steve, and I always want to sign up for Colonel Budget because I am in his corner more than this. I mean, I think I should even have a position because Captain CBT or something like that. Because
what's right below a colonel?
Yeah, captain. Yeah.
Captain.
CBT. I'm fine because, you know, the thing is, you know, like Steve and Paul, why don't we go get Giancarlo Stanton? You know, we'll get $33 million on that.
Now, listen.
You can be Sergeant Budget. We need non-commissioned officers as well.
Okay, can do that. Yeah. I'm exaggerating.
I do not want Giancarlo Stanton, for the record. Unless we can get it very cheaply.
But if I can take a shot, I'll take it.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, of course.
No, I get it. And I do understand it. And this has been a wild team to cover for the last 6 years since we've been doing it. It's been a wild team to cover. And really, no prospect stone has gone unturned. And I think maybe my perspective has changed a little bit, and I said it. I'm not worried about AJ Preller being able to refill the farm cup because he's continued to do that. And every now and then, a trade will happen where you'll see people go, "Oh my God, I can't believe we parted with X."
Right.
And then 5 years goes by, and X still isn't doing anything at the big league level. And it's like, well, they took a shot. You know, and of course, man, to go back with hindsight and look at bad trades, I'm a genius. No one can evaluate a bad trade 3 years after the fact like I can or Ben can or you can. I know it's hard to part with these guys. Now, I have softened a little bit and said, if you've got two untouchables in your system in DeVries and Salas, sit on them. You don't, like, there's no need to trade those guys. I've seen enough video on both, and I've seen Ethan Salas in person where I go, oh, yeah, no. Keep him. Yeah, keep him. The problem is there's just no guarantee. There's no guaranteed prospects out there. There's some that you feel like are close, and you look at and you go, he's a can't miss. How many can't miss guys have there been in the history of baseball? It's thousands and thousands and thousands of number one draft picks, you know, and it's just really tough. I do like to win. I do like to have an exciting team to cover. I like a team that's all in, but that's my personality. You know, being careful, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. You know, so I think that if you can improve your team again while hanging on to those two guys in particular, I'm all for it, man.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think, one, that's a good point. We can have a lot of fun and joke around about prospect hugging and all that stuff. But the point is, you're absolutely right that the prospects are suspects. As much as I don't like that commentary, that's true.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you got to turn on the flip side. If you look at Eric Hosmer, someone like me or you who wants to win with the big club, we go, okay, we're bringing in a guy. He's been part of two World Series championships, good leader and all this. And you're wrong on him.
Yep, 100%.
And you're still paying him.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm wrong on someone like Adam Mazur, all right, okay, if I'm off on that, then he's gone the next
year. Yeah, it's 600 grand or something.
Know, right. Oz is still sitting there, and more power to him. I have no problem at all as a working man with him being paid $13 million not to play, but yeah, that's the biggest problem. I mean, you look at Xander Bogaerts, and I mean, I lost a considerable bet where I think I caused a minor shortage of pork and lamb to Eric and Danny on signing Xander Bogaerts.
You liked the move.
Yeah, I did not like the move.
You did not.
I was against it. I said, there's no way they're going to sign Bogaerts because that means they can't sign Soto. And the team wouldn't be dumb enough. And then Eric called me an idiot. And
they
I
did.
Bet him and I lost.
Even Xander's still up in the air, right? The totality of Xander Bogaerts has yet to be seen.
Great guy. Wonderful person. But I mean, it's an 11-year deal. And even you look at the biggest problem I have with AJ is, I like the trades. I like how the scouting system works, and we can kind of get into that. The problem they've had is just they've tied themselves up with some extensions.
Yeah.
And most of the trades, like you mentioned, aren't that good. Like, how many people remember the main guy that gave up for Joe Musgrove was a guy called, a Texas center fielder. They got Hudson something or
Hudson
other.
Hudson Head? No.
I'll look it up at that.
But now, right now,
he's in his third year of high A.
Right.
Hudson Head.
Yeah, it was right. It was tremendous.
David Bednar.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bednar's been good.
Hudson
Well,
Head.
Bednar was a guy who was
How
a pretty head.
How many heads did they have in the
they
minor
They have a lot
leagues,
of heads.
My goodness gracious.
Lots of
Dylan,
head in the minor.
Drake Fellows. Drake Fellows.
Yeah, they gave Hudson $3 million in the third round. And, you know, the one thing Preller, one of the many things the Padres have been good at is they're pretty good at identifying which guys might not do something at the next level, which we were talking about, you know? You know, Robert Hassel, I liked him a lot at Elsinore. Ooh, I liked him at Fort Wayne.
Everybody did.
He has not hit for power at all. He's kind of one of the guys that's not that doing that well. Yarlin Cezanne, another guy who hasn't played that well. Now, James Wood, that was not a hard guy to sit there and look at that and go, I like that.
Yeah, Juan Soto was going to cost you, though. He was going to cost you. You're not going to fleece somebody on Juan Soto.
The question is, would people who are really into getting Juan Soto, which you should, this is a guy who's going to make over $500 million.
Yeah.
You had a chance to get him for 3 years. And I was for the trade to make sure everyone knows that to be up front. But maybe people would have thrown Jackson Merrill in there, too.
Yeah.
And Merrill
was
hurt.
I was just about to bring that up because, you know, identifying the right person not to trade is just as important as identifying the guys that you can trade.
And you guys would have loved that story. Merrill and both Big James played AAU ball together in Maryland.
Merrill was posting on his Instagram about James Wood's debut last
night.
They're friends. They're buddies,
yeah.
James Wood would be nasty on this team, but I still do that deal 100% of the time.
I would, too, because you got, as a history major in school, that's how you got to look at the facts that you had at the time
that's
you
right.
made the deal.
That's right.
And you can't sit there and go, no.
Nobody in that trade that you gave away was going to be getting big hits against the Dodgers or in the NLCS that year.
No.
And Juan Soto did.
Yeah.
Well, does anybody want the Yu Darvish trade back?
No.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Talking to John Canha from Matt Friars, he's in studio with us, and the tendency with prospects is, you know, you dream on them. You look and see what's the ceiling. What's the best they can be if they develop into big leaguers? And most of the time, John, you know, they never reach that potential. And sometimes they don't get close. Sometimes they get kind of close, get to the big leagues. But rarely do they turn into the full player that you hope that they get. Jackson Merrill, in my mind, has almost already superseded some of my biggest dreams of what he could be as a big leaguer in the first 3 months in the big league.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Where has this exactly come from? Did we miss a little bit on Jackson Merrill? Even the dream of Jackson Merrill, the reality has been better than the dream of, like, in about 3 or 4 years, he might be something close to the player he already seems to be right now at age 21.
Well, since we've been a little critical of the Padres and some of the things they've done, you know, you have to also give him a lot of credit. I mean, Merrill was a guy, I think, when he was a sophomore in high school, I think he told me he was about 5'8".
Good
and he
Lord.
Grew. He was about 5'11
or
6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah,
he's a big, big boy, dude.
He's going to be a big boy.
And he was going to go to West Point to you know, because he wasn't considered that he wasn't a part of the whole Perfect Game series. Then he got us, the University of Kentucky wanted him, and then the Padres got him in the first round. But when I talked to Chris Kemp, you know, he's playing in Severna Park, Maryland, which is between Annapolis and D.C. They're trying to evaluate him when the guy on the mound is throwing like 70 miles an hour.
That's adult ball,
yeah,
dude.
Pretty much. And so, I mean, they did a really good job of having him come over. He got bigger and it grew. And the thing, too, about Merrill is, you know, all right, here's a hot take so you guys can mark this. Merrill never played a game in center field.
Never, he told
us. So I think, as a prospect guy, maybe you should play a couple games in the position you have before you go to the big leagues.
Right.
That's my wild take right there. That was my one big criticism, because we asked him when he went to Fort Wayne last year, hey, going to play him in their position? No, we see him as a shortstop. And kind of you guys go back to your little website and play around with that.
Yeah, oh, right.
Okay.
All right.
Sure, fine. And then in San Antonio, they moved him to a little bit, a couple games left field, and to a game or two at second and first. The big thing about Merrill, which I thought to be honest, Joe, I'm wrong. I thought he should have been back for about a couple months just in San Antonio to get at least more than 48 games. But he's been able to make adjustments on the fly, which is really difficult to do. You know, a guy they have in AAA right now, Graham Pauly, who was a big guy, he's struggled. And you can kind of see he only had 10 games at AA. And that's the big difference. At AA compared to High A, guys are much more consistent with their breaking stuff and off speed. And that's a lot to do as, you know, as someone who still plays baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, those pitches get a lot more real at the AA level.
It is. It's staggering that anyone ever puts the bat on the ball.
Oh,
sometimes when you watch some guys throw and you go, how do you even approach this AB? It's been awesome to watch Jackson play. And look, I think, you know, you do have to give them credit for that too. But I again, for me, I always give the majority of the credit to the player of like saying, yeah, I mean, because we straight up asked him the same question. You ever play center field? Never, not once. Oh, okay. And, you know, his words were essentially, yeah, but I get to play in the big league, so I'll play wherever. Same with Jake Cronenworth. He's like, I don't care where you think I care where I hit? I was bounced around, and you can hit me seventh, you can hit me ninth, you can hit me third, you can hit me second. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm in there, I don't care where I play.
That's
the makeup of the player.
July is here. It is trade deadline month. A.J. Preller is always active, yet he's already been the most active general manager this season with the Dylan Cease deal right before the start opening day, and then Luis Arraez added to the team. What is left to make a big deal for the San Diego Padres, especially with other teams also in the market for the big deals? We got John Connor from Matt Friars. He's in studio. We're going to bring him on for a little bit of a conversation coming up here right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. If you're a serious Padres fan, Matt Friars and all of their reporters and people who cover the Padres in the minor leagues are a must-follow on social media. And John Conniff is here. Now, John, how does the Matt Friars structure really work? Welcome in. Are you like the CEO? How's the organization structured?
I guess I'm like the CEO, and David Jay is the chief editor. Calls me an idiot about on a daily basis. Then you
big
guys
David
have
Jay,
a
big David Jay
but
fan.
You're not,
over here.
You're not officially connected with the San Diego Padres organization. You're independent, you know, fans, people who cover the team who are interested in the minor leagues of the San Diego Padres, and you offer honest perspectives of what you see of the Padres in the minor leaguers, and you actually have people on the ground in the different cities like Elsinore, Fort Wayne, who go there throughout the year to get, well, at times at least.
We have, we have five of us. Also, we have Kevin Charity, whose seat I'm sitting in, and it's kind of roomy to give Kevin some
brief.
And then we have Mark Wilkins and, of course, Ben Davey. So The big thing about us, we don't have any dedicated person just there. We try to go around and we try to see them. And I think that gives you a better perspective and you can see how different people are progressing. And I think one of the better things about the site, and it's been a big credit to your guys' program and the other ones that we've been on, is you let us come on here, I think, and just report. And this is what people are kind of, this is what the players are kind of doing at this level. And this will tell you, this is what we think they need to do to get better. This is what they need to work on. And this is what they're doing well now, as opposed to me sitting here saying, let me tell you about DeVries. He's going to be the everyday shortstop for the Padres, and in 3 years he'll hit 20 home runs. And I think that's what listeners and people get upset about, because anyone can say that, but no one knows that. I sure don't know that. I mean, we can talk about, we'll get into some of the guys, what they're doing well, and things we need to see them do better. But yeah, thank you for the nice words on Matt Friars, and we always appreciate you guys having us on.
Now, me and you go back and forth a lot.
Yes.
John will listen to the show in real time. When we start talking about prospects, he'll start texting me, and I love it, too, because he gives me information I didn't have. It makes me seem smarter. But also, he knows that if I had the keys, that I would be more like A.J. Preller and less like maybe a more conservative general manager.
Well, every time I listen to you, and I do listen to you guys in D.C., there might be five or six guys do that, and that's me. And I always, you know, I listen to Paul and Steve, and I always want to sign up for Colonel Budget, because I am in his corner more than this. I mean, I think I should even have a position, a Captain CBT or something like that. Because
what's right below a colonel?
Yeah, captain. Yeah.
Captain. Yeah,
sure.
Captain
CBT. Yeah, I'm fine, because, you know, the thing is, you know, like Steve and Paul, why don't we go get Giancarlo Stanton? You know, we'll get $33 million on that.
Now, listen.
You can be Sergeant Budget. We need non-commissioned officers
as
well.
Okay, I can do that, yeah. I'm exaggerating.
I do not want Giancarlo Stanton,
no, I know.
For the record. Unless we can get it very cheaply.
But if I can take a shot, I'll take it.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, of course.
No, I get it. And I do understand it. And this has been a wild team to cover for the last 6 years since we've been doing it. It's been a wild team to cover. And really, no prospect stone has gone unturned. And I think maybe my perspective has changed a little bit. And I said it, I'm not worried about A.J. Preller being able to refill the farm cup, because he's continued to do that. And every now and then a trade will happen where you'll see people go, oh my God, I can't believe we parted with X.
Right.
And then 5 years goes by and X still isn't doing anything at the big league level. And it's like, well, they took a shot, you know, and of course, man, to go back with hindsight and look at bad trades, I'm a genius. No yes. one can evaluate a bad trade 3 years after the fact like I can, or Ben can, or you can. I know it's hard to part with these guys. Now, I have softened a little bit and said, if you've got two untouchables in your system in DeVries and Salas, sit on them. You don't, like, there's no need to trade those guys. I've seen enough video on both, and I've seen Ethan Salas in person where I go, oh, yeah, no, keep him. Yeah, keep him. The problem is there's just no guarantee. There's no guaranteed prospects out there. There's some that you feel like are close, and you look at and you go, he's a can't-miss. How many can't-miss guys have there been in the history of baseball? It's thousands and thousands and thousands of number one draft picks, you know, and it's just really tough. I do like to win. I do like to have an exciting team to cover. I like a team that's all in. But that's my personality. You know, being careful, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. You know, so I think that if you can improve your team again while hanging on to those two guys in particular, I'm all for it, man.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think, one, that's a good point. We can have a lot of fun and joke around about prospect hugging and all that stuff. But the point is, you're absolutely right that the prospects are suspects. As much as I don't like that commentary, that's true.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you got to turn on the flip side. If you look at Eric Hosmer, someone like me or you who wants to win with the big club would go, okay, we're bringing in a guy. He's been part of two World Series championships, good leader and all this, and you're wrong on him.
Yep, 100%.
And you're still paying him.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm wrong on someone like Adam Mazur, all right, okay, if I'm off on that, then he's gone the next year.
Yeah, it's 600 grand or something.
Know, right. Haas is still sitting there, and more power to him. I have no problem at all as a working man with him being paid $13 million not to play. But, yeah, that's the biggest problem. I mean, you look at Xander Bogaerts, and I mean, I lost a considerable bet where I think I caused a minor shortage of pork and lamb to Eric and Danny on signing Xander Bogaerts.
You liked the move.
Yeah, I did not like the move.
You did not.
I was against it. I said, there's no way they're going to sign Bogaerts because that means they can't sign Soto. And the team wouldn't be dumb enough. And then Eric called me an idiot. And
they
I
did.
Bet him, and I lost. So.
And well, and listen, he even Xander's still up in the air, right? The totality of Xander Bogaerts has yet to be seen.
Great guy, wonderful person, but I mean, it's an 11-year deal, and even you look at a lot. The biggest problem I have with AJ is I like the trades, I like how the scouting system works, and we can kind of get into that. The problem they've had is just they've tied themselves up with some extensions, and. Most of the trades, like you mentioned, aren't they good? Like, how many people remember the main guy that gave up for Joe Musgrove was a guy called, a Texas center fielder. They got Hudson something or
Hudson
other.
Hudson Head? No.
Was it Head? I'll look it up at that. But anyhow, he's in his third year of high A.
Right.
Hudson Head.
Hudson Head, right. It was a tremendous.
David Bednar.
Bednar's been good.
Hudson well, Bednar was a guy who was
how many heads did they have in the minor
leagues? They have a lot of heads.
Goodness gracious.
Lots of heads.
Drake Fellows.
Yeah, they gave Hudson $3 million in the third round. And, you know, the one thing Preller, one of the many things the Padres have been good at is they're pretty good at identifying which guys are might not do something at the next level, which we were talking about, you know? You know, Robert Hassel, I liked him a lot at Elsinore. Ooh, I liked him at Fort Wayne.
Everybody did.
He has not hit for power at all. He's kind of one of the guys that's not that doing it well. Yarlin Suzanne, another guy who hasn't played that well. Now, James Wood, that was not a hard guy to sit there and look at that and go, I like that.
Yeah, Juan Soto was going to cost you, though. He was going to cost you. You're not going to fleece somebody on Juan Soto.
The question is, would people who are really into getting Juan Soto, which you should, this is a guy who's going to make over $500 million. Yeah. You had a chance to get him for 3 years. And I was for the trade to make sure everyone knows that to be up front. But maybe people would have thrown Jackson Merrill in there, too.
Yeah.
And Merrill
was hurt. I was just about to bring that up because, you know, identifying the right person not to trade is just as important as it identifying the guys that you can trade.
And you guys would have loved that story. Merrill and both Big James played AAU ball together in Maryland.
Merrill was posting on his Instagram about James Wood's debut last night.
They're friends.
They're buddies,
James
Wood would be nasty on this team, but I still do that deal 100% of the time.
I would, too, because you got, as a history major in school, that's how you got to look at the facts that you had at the time
that's
you
right.
made the deal.
That's right.
And you can't sit there and go, no.
Nobody in that trade that you gave away was going to be getting big hits against the Dodgers or in the NLCS that year.
No.
And Juan Soto did.
Yeah.
Well, does anybody want the Yu Darvish trade back?
No. Right. Absolutely. I mean,
Talking to John Canha from Matt Friars, he's in studio with us, and the tendency with prospects is, you know, you dream on them. You look and see what's the ceiling. What's the best they can be if they develop into big leaguers? And most of the time, John, you know, they never reach that potential. It's sometimes they don't get close. Sometimes they get kind of close, get to the big leagues, but rarely do they turn into the full player that you hope that they get. Jackson Merrill, in my mind, has almost already superseded some of my biggest dreams of what he could be as a big leaguer in the first 3 months in the big league.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Where has this exactly come from? Did we miss a little bit on Jackson Merrill? Even the dream of Jackson Merrill, the reality has been better than the dream of, like, in about 3 or 4 years, he might be something close to the player he already seems to be right now at age 21.
Well, since we've been a little critical of the Padres and some of the things they've done, you know, you have to also give him a lot of credit. I mean, Merrill was a guy, I think, when he was a sophomore in high school, I think he told me he was about 5'8".
Good
and he
Lord.
Grew. He was about 5'11
like
or 6'4".
He's like 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, he's 6'4".
Big boy, dude.
He's going to be a big boy.
And he was going to go to West Point to you know, because he wasn't considered that he wasn't a part of the whole perfect game series. Then he got the University of Kentucky wanted him, and then the Padres got him the first round. But when I talked to Chris Kemp, you know, he's playing in Severna Park, Maryland, which is between Annapolis and D.C. They're trying to evaluate him when the guy on the mound is throwing like 70 miles an hour.
That's adult ball, dude.
Pretty much. And so, I mean, they did a really good job of having him come over. He got bigger and it grew. And the thing, too, about Merrill is, you know, all right, here's a hot take so you guys can mark this. Merrill never played a game in center field.
Never, he told
us. So I think, as a prospect guy, maybe you should play a couple games in the position you have before you go to the big leagues.
Right.
That's my wild take right there. That was my one big criticism, because we asked him, when he went to Fort Wayne last year, hey, going to play him in their position? No, no, we see him as a shortstop. And kind of you guys go back to your little website and play around with that.
Yeah, oh, right. Okay. All right.
Sure, fine. And then in San Antonio, they moved him to a little bit, a couple games to left field and to a game or two at second and first. The big thing about Merrill, which I thought I thought, to be honest, Joe, I'm wrong. I thought he should have been back for about a couple months. Just in San Antonio to get at least more than 48 games, but he's been able to make adjustments on the fly, which is really difficult to do. You know, a guy they have in AAA right now, Graham Pauly, who was a big guy, he's struggled. And you can kind of see he only had 10 games at AA, and that's a big difference. At AA compared to high A, guys are much more consistent with their breaking stuff and off speed, and that's a lot to do. As you know, someone who still plays baseball.
Yeah,
I mean, those pitches get a lot more real at the double A level.
It is. It's staggering that anyone ever puts the bat on the ball.
Oh,
sometimes when you watch some guys throw and you go, how do you even approach this AB? It's been awesome to watch Jackson play. And look, I think, you know, you do have to give them credit for that too. But again, for me, I always give the majority of the credit to the player of like saying, I mean, because we straight up asked him the same question. You ever play center field? Never. Not once. Oh, okay. And, you know, his words were essentially, but I get to play in the big league. So I'll play wherever. Same with Jake Cronenworth. He's like, I don't care where you think I care where I hit? I was bounced around and you can hit me seventh, you can hit me ninth, you can hit me third, you can hit me second. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm in there, I don't care where I play.
That's
the makeup of the player that you want.
Right, but we know his agents pretty well. And he spent the whole offseason outfield
Jackson.
Work. The thing about Merrill, I think I've told this story a couple times, but I'm old so I can get away with repeating myself, is, you know, when Merrill got hurt in Lake Elsinore, he was hitting like 325 with power, and he gets a slide on the glove hand and wrist breaks it. Now, if I was 19, I would have just been so upset. I would have been just inside my own head. He went back to the complex league, and he said, the thing I got to work on is getting quicker lateral playing shortstop. And he spent 4 weeks working on his lateral movement, getting stronger, doing everything he can. So his mindset is incredibly impressive. I mean, as someone who has a teenager, I don't think that he's from the same planet, let alone the same species.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's amazing how hard this guy works.
John Conniff is with us from Mad Friars. Let's talk a little bit about James Wood and his debut last night and kind of revisiting the Juan Soto trade here now 2 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Padres it's not like they have nothing to show for Juan Soto. He may be gone, but they used him to help rebuild their pitching staff for this season. I don't think in any stretch of the imagination, though, you would trade Michael King and Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito and Kyle Higashioka for Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams and James Wood, even if Drew Thorpe was thrown in there. So in terms of the players they have now versus the ones they gave up, that's not a successful exchange. Now, you also had Juan Soto for a year and a half and made a run to the National League Championship Series, which is worth something in value. But how do you now evaluate that based on the continued development of the now former Padres prospect with the Washington Nationals and what the Padres did ultimately get out of Soto?
I think it's like kind of I said earlier, because you don't want to run into, like, would you still go to the play, Mrs. Lincoln? I mean, you have to look at the information you had there. And I look at it this way. Since we moved here when I was a kid in 1976, I've been a San Diego Padres fan. In that time, my team has won one World Series game. Not one World Series championship, one World Series game. So as much as a, you know, prospect hugger-in-chief that I may be, when we saw a chance that they could get Juan Soto, and at that time you thought you were going to get a healthy Fernando Tatis coming back, you know, with Manny Machado in the middle of a big contract, and you had a chance to win a World Series, I think, as another radio host said, is, okay, if you get a chance to take a World Series and you have 8 bad years, I'll take it. I'll take the flag.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, and for me to sit there and, you know, I get what you're saying, Ben. In hindsight, yeah, I agree with you. It's not a good deal, but I can't sit there and say, hey, I wouldn't do the trade. Because I think that's the only way that you do a fair evaluation is, would you do the trade at the time? Yeah. And I love James Wood. The best story I saw on James Wood is at Lake Elsinore one time. He leads off the first inning, hits a home run to dead center over the park, about nearly 500 feet. About his third at bat, this is a guy who's 6'7", 250. He hits a ball to the second baseman, makes the second baseman go to about three steps toward the bag. And he beats it out.
Beats it out.
And the guy and the second baseman's looking at him like, that's not fair.
Bro, he's a tight end. He's in the wrong business. No, I mean, as good as he may be, he's a tight end. He's been playing for the Guardians.
The best
not guy, the Guardians, the Commanders.
The best guy who had analysis on him was one of our writers and a good friend of mine is Mark Wilkins, who's 6'8". And Mark said, you know, he taught me how to look at a guy that's that tall. He goes, you know, try looking at him when he's away from everybody else. And what you see on James is, hey, he's a really good athlete.
Yeah.
He moves well.
Yeah.
And then you see him come with everybody else, and you go, he's that big. The thing about James is interesting, and his parents are from D.C. I got to have lunch with his parents one time, is he's always been – people see him as a big guy who's athletic, who's a baseball player, when really with James it's more he's a baseball player – who's athletic.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
Is big.
That's awesome. I mean, again, like, it'll be fun watching him play. I'm not going to get too revved up about it because Juan Soto was here. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. You know, when I'm on my deathbed, that will be one of the memories that comes washing over me is the day we traded for Juan Soto. Didn't work out. It happens. I'm so glad that we did it. You know, I'm so glad that we did it. I can't worry about what the Nationals are going to do. We will be talking more about the Nationals, though, here pretty soon. Johnny, thank you, man. That's good stuff. As usual, dude, we really appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's
man.
Our pleasure.
It's fun
man.
To see the place that I listen to in the mornings in my cube.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome to stick around if you want.
Stick around.
We could actually pick your brain a little bit more going forward. I do want to get...
John lives in the Washington area. I'm sure he's got some thoughts as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Stick around. We'll talk about the Washington Nationals. We got Take on Woods coming up as well. New prize this month. Got the Rio getaway, including the day bed at the pool, a dinner for two as well. Chance to take on Woods coming up in our 7 o'clock hour in our next segment as we the first hour flew by here on a Tuesday morning. More Ben and Woods coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.